With Tisha B'Av around the corner, we begin with the Gemara at the end of Tainus, and we're going to focus on one specific dimension of Tisha B'Av, and that's the prohibition against learning Torah. Now, in its original form, this prohibition against studying Torah, and for that matter, just about everything that's prohibited on Tisha B'Av, is a carbon copy of what? What's the paradigm?
Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur, yes, as far as what we call Tainus, meaning fasting, and of course the Inuyim, which means the afflictions, but Tisha B'Av has something that Yom Kippur doesn't have. And what's that?
Easter of learning Torah.
That's one example of what? But the Easter of learning Torah...
Morning.
Exactly. Yeah. Available. Oh, come in, Rabbi. We just started.
It depends on who's available and so forth.
Hey, just in time.
You want to sit here or here?
Okay, great. Excellent.
So again, what we've said so far is the following, that Tisha B'Av is a perfect overlap of both a fast day and a day of mourning. Insofar as it's a fast day, then our paradigm becomes Yom Kippur. Insofar as it's a day of mourning, which is Avelus, then our paradigm is someone who lost one of his seven relatives, and he's obligated in the mitzvah of Avelus. Now, on Yom Kippur, there's no prohibition against studying Torah. So obviously, the Iser of Talmud Torah has nothing to do with Tainus, with fasting. Don't be fooled by the fact that the first source that we're studying today is in Masechta Tainus. But rather, the prohibition against studying Torah comes from Avelus.
And there's other things in Avelus. I don't know, like Malacha.
Oh,
people
so
don't mistake. Oh, Montishka, but like.
So that's what this. That's what this Gemara wants to know. Is there an exact duplicate between the laws of Avelus and all the prohibitions therein, thereof, and the laws of Tisha B'Av? So if you take a look at the Braisa, which the Gemara quotes here, it's on Daf Lamed Omer Aleph, about 10 lines up from the bottom of the page. It says, Torah Rabbanon, Kol mitzvos ha-nogos bi-ovel, nogos b'Tisha B'Av. And all the laws that are encompassed under the great, you know, this great umbrella of a mitzvah called Avelus, they all apply to Tisha B'Av. And now the Braisa doesn't leave it to your imagination, but rather goes through one by one to enumerate what's included under both Avelus and Tisha B'Av. And it's interesting that although the Braisa opens up by telling us that the overlap is with regard to Avelus, the Braisa nevertheless wants to emphasize that there's another dimension to Tisha B'Av, and that's Tainus. Also, Machilu B'Shusia. Now, Tainus, in the case of Yom Kippur, and likewise Tisha B'Av, includes all the Inuyim. So you have Sicha, Nilas HaSandal, Tashmish HaMita. And now, at this point, the Braisa goes back to the beginning discussion, namely the equation, the overlap between Avelus and Tisha B'Av, the Asa Likros B'Torah, B'Neviyim U'B'Ksuvim, U'Lashanos B'Mishneh, B'Talmud, B'Medrash, B'Halachas, U'V'Agados. Okay.
Yes.
Now, basically, what it seems is that the Braisa has covered the entire gamut of the study of Torah. Dr. Joel, we have a seat for you here. Okay. You don't need a page, do you?
No, it's all
in your head. Well, maybe just look at the page so you take a picture of it.
Okay.
Oh, no, we dispel that idea.
Yes.
All right. Didn't we have another page somewhere?
Right, very good.
Yeah, okay. So I don't know where I put it. Of course, when I need it. All right. Anyway, you have what's going on here. So, again, just to summarize, there's no heter, there's no permission to study Torah on Tisha B'Av. And that's what this brisa enumerates, an entire list of all the dimensions of Torah study that are prohibited on Tisha B'Av. And it gives you this whole long list. But let's go through the list one more time. We have Torah, which means the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. We have Nevi'im, we have Ksuvim, we have Mishnah, we have Talmud, we have Medrash, Halachas, Vagodas. Now, there is an exception to the rule. In fact, there may be two exceptions to the rule. The first exception to the rule is Aval Korehu b'makom she'eino rogil likros v'shonu b'makom she'ein rogil lishnos. And we have to see what this means, but just to simplify it, because I don't want to get too bogged down in that line, we have a lot to cover today. There are certain areas of Torah study that are very difficult for a person on his first round. You know, if you've already studied that, then it's a cinch. You know, you're oriented, you're reviewing. It's very, as we say in Yiddish, geschmack. It's very tasty. It's like a good show. But there's certain areas of Torah that, you know, to break through on the first round, in a rugged lishanos, that doesn't give a person that sense of geschmack that the rest of Torah does. So for some reason, we don't know why yet, that you're allowed to study on Tisha B'Av. And now we get the second exception to the rule. Vikore, he's allowed to read Kinos, Eov, and then Dvarim Aroim Shebi Yirmiya. You know, Yirmiya foretells the destruction of the Migdosh, and that's pretty sad, and that we're allowed to read on Tisha B'Av. Then the Braisa concludes by saying Tinoko shall base Rabban, as far as young children are concerned, the law is that Bitelu. Now I'm not sure when we say Bitelu means that we cancel classes, are they dancing for that? You know, this makes Tisha B'Av a holiday for them. I don't know. Tisha B'Av is not supposed to be a happy day.
Not yet.
Yeah, right. Not yet.
You wanted them to have additional hours?
So what does the Braisa say? Mishum shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Misamchei Lev. So it means that the study of Torah is connected to Simcha, Misamchei Lev. And that's antithetical to the spirit of Tisha B'Av. And therefore, we cannot preoccupy ourselves with the study of Torah, with the two exceptions that we give. So I want to focus your attention on Rashi here. Rashi says, V'asur likros b'Torah, v'chule, etc. Meaning, Rashi's telling us that he's about to add a comment that would explain v'chule, everything that we had here from the words the asur likros b'Torah until the very end. And I point this out to you because Rashi is going to focus on this pasuk, Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Misamchei Lev. Now, in what context is that pasuk quoted? Does anybody see my point here?
No, does that mean not necessarily refer to the Torah, it may refer to something else.
Correct, and what would be the something else?
Pikudei Hashem.
Meaning, when you have A, B, and C in a brisa, so you have A that formulates one prohibition, then you have B that formulates a second prohibition, and then you have C, an explanation, in this case a quote of a pasuk, so then what question automatically has to arise in your mind?
Is that referring to A or B?
Correct, or both. In other words, it might refer to B, it might refer to A plus B. It would be almost impossible to maintain that it refers only to A. So it could either refer only to B, or to both A and B. Rashi, from the fact that he's attaching a sentence here, or an explanation, which Rashi always does, to the Asa Likos B'Torah, where is that on our scheme? A. And if it's A, then certainly B. Meaning, V'chule, Rashi, I think, is approaching this brisa, and specifically C, the explanation on the underlying logic of this din, as a unit. And Rashi says, D'chsiv b'hu mesam chelev, because regarding Torah, it's mesam chelev. Now, what do I want to emphasize over here? Rashi clearly is giving us an answer to the question, why am I enjoined from studying Torah on Tisha B'av? And the answer is because what's inherent in Torah study? Simcha. And that's antithetical to Tisha B'av. Now, if you take a look at the Marsha, which I have copied for you on your page, the Marsha has a different approach. Okay, let's just take a look at the Marsha. The Marsha writes, Pirish Rashi, Mishum Dichsivu Mesam Chelev, Adkan Lashona. Velule Perusho, well, what do those two words indicate?
He's wrong.
Well, he says, if not for his Perush, what does that indicate? A certain level of humility, if you follow my point. Meaning, the Marsha says, I can't argue with Rashi. The Marsha was 5 centuries ago, you know. But if not for Rashi, here's what I would have said. Nira, delav mishum simcha nagu be. Now, how could the Marsha possibly present the thesis that the prohibition of enjoining us from learning Torah is not based on Mesam Chelev? The Brisa itself says, Shenemar, Pikudi Hashem, Mishar Mesam Chelev. But what's going to be the answer? How did the Marsha understand A, B, and C?
Only applies to B.
Correct, that C only explains B, but it does go back on A. Now, on a technical, mechanical level, I can certainly be open to such suggestion, but then what question remains unanswered? Why am I enjoined from studying Torah on Tisha B'av? So he says the following: "Delo maisi haikra." The Brisa doesn't quote this pasuk. Dimasam chelev. Ela b'seifa. Only on the second halach that you can't teach the young children Torah. Gavi tinoko shobeis rama. Avol b'shar kol adam. But as far as adults are concerned. Ika taimachrina. We have a different reason why we're enjoined from the study of Torah. Now the Marsha has to be very creative here, because I don't know of another reason. Rashi didn't know of another reason. Mishum. And what's the answer for this? Says the Marsha shalo yishkach avelo shalyom. What does that mean?
You shouldn't forget the fact you're a day mourning. Torah might distract you from that.
Distract. Oh, excellent. That's the word I was looking for. Distraction. So Rashi's saying the issue of Talmud Torah is not an issue of simcha. The Marsha, excuse me, I meant to say, is not an issue of simcha that's antithetical to avails, but an issue of what I call distraction, otherwise known as hesei chadas.
So why sing about Torah? There's lots of things.
Excellent question. Ubishar asokim nami osurei taimo. And the Bryce is going to tell us that not only is Torah prohibited because it distracts you, but other involvements to be preoccupied with malacha, with work, are also prohibited. Nusa, you'll ask me, if that be the case, then if anything that involves some sort of preoccupation and distraction from avelus is to be left out on Tisha B'av, then why did you have to tell me anything about Torah study? Well, you and I might have given an answer. I'm not so preoccupied when I study Torah. But the Marsha didn't even raise that possibly in his mind. You know, the simple premise is that if washing clothing on Tisha B'Av will distract you, then how much more so Torah is going to distract you? So why did the Brice have to tell Ularabusa Naka? It says that Rashi is a chiddush here. The afilu lilmo Torah asur bo. Even Torah is prohibited. I would have thought that, okay, you know, you want to wash your clothes, we're not going to allow you to do that. You want to go to work today, we're not going to allow you to do that. But at least Chach, you can allow me to learn Torah. Why would I think you're allowed to learn Torah?
It's a mitzvah.
It's a mitzvah. It's a great mitzvah to learn Torah.
As long as you have a day off.
Yeah, that's a great part of time to learn Torah. Right? You're not doing your laundry, so why not study Torah? Awesome. On this day, you're not allowed to learn Torah. And to my knowledge, that's the only day of the year that you're not allowed to learn Torah. In fact, there is a minhag among certain Hasidim not to learn Torah on Leil Kratzmach, you know. They say the Sama Rebbe used to cut toilet paper for all the Shabbosim of the year on that night. You know what I'm saying? It says, Amol Bitinoko Shal Beis Rabam Nakat Lei. Why does he mention this pasuk of Mesam Chilei? That's for Tinoko Shal Beis Rabam, the Aser Mia Mias Mishum Simcha. So it comes out like this: If my problem on Tisha B'Av is just that I'm distracted from the Avelus by studying Torah, that would not extend as far as to enjoin me from teaching Torah to the Tinoko Shal Beis Rabam. That program has to go on. I don't know if you know about a yeshiva in the old city called Rav Zilberman. You know, there, if I'm not mistaken, they only give them off on Tisha B'Av and on Erev Yom Kippur. That means 363 days out of the year they study Torah. There's no such thing as vacation for Tinoko Shel Beis Rav. This is a... So like a flashback of what it was like back in who knows where, in different countries on the face of the earth, you know, hundreds of years ago, when they took this Tinoko Shel Beis Rabam very seriously. It's a very chamur, it's very stringent. We don't just let the kids go out. This is an opportunity to train them, to teach them, to educate them. So I would think that on Yom HaKippur, on Tisha B'Av, even though we have an issue of not wanting to be distracted, but if that was the only issue, then you know what? I have to distract myself for the benefit of these children. Kamash v'olan, the children themselves are enjoined from studying Torah. They have to understand that this day is not a Torah day. And why not? It's not like they're thinking constantly about Avelus. I don't know if when it comes to children we can educate them to focus on their Avelus for 24/7, you know, for 24 hours continuously. That cube of Avelus, I don't know if you could impose upon the child, but at least they should know that the Simcha of Torah has to be suspended on Tisha. In any event, let's just summarize what we have. We have the Rashi and the Marsha. Rashi is of the opinion that the reason why we're enjoined from studying Torah on Tisha B'Av is because of Mesamchei Lev. And that applies to both adults and to children as well. The Marsha splits them into two and suggests that the Isur of Talmud Torah, as far as adults are concerned, is not a problem of Simcha, but rather it's a problem of Hesek Hadas, what we call, to be distracted from the kiyum of Avelus. The Simcha element introduced by this Braisa is singular to the children. As far as the children is concerned, we can't expect them to be preoccupied with Avelus, but one thing we have to convey to the children, this is not a day of Simcha. That's what we have so far.
So let me ask a question. Wouldn't it be easier if the Rabbanan said it's Asur to do Malachan Tisha B'Av? Just like make an
Isur. Correct. On Tisha B'Av there's an Isur Malach.
There's an Isur, but it's not the same as Shabbat.
The question is in the afternoon. You know, that's another shear unto itself. What changes in the afternoon of Tisha B'Av? No one does Malach in the morning of Tisha B'Av. Some say that after they finish the kiddush, maybe that's a green light to do Malach. I don't know. But the afternoon changes. That has to be of the
Sukkah. But I'm in an Easter like Shabbos with Skila if you do it.
Well, the Rabbanon, the whole business of Tisha B'Av is the Rabbanon, and we don't find that the Rabbanon ever imposed Skila. There is such a thing as the Rabbanon sometimes in very extreme circumstances, you know, putting someone to death. That's a Sugya Masechta Yevamos. But just the 99.999% of the rule is that the Rabbanon don't impose those kinds of onshim. Basically, in a case of an Issa de Rabbanon, the worst punishment that you could suffer is what's called Makis Mardus. That's a lighter version of 39 lashes. But what I wanted to comment to you, you know, this I took from Bar Ilan, but in the original Marsha, as it's printed in the Talmud Bavli, there are comments on the bottom. It's called Hagos. And in this Hagos, he writes the following. He says, Lefi divrei hamarsha, amai shari lilmod b'makom she'ein ragil likros. You remember that there were two categories of Torah that you were allowed to learn. The second one was Dvarim Raim, you know, things that are depressing, that foretell, forebode evil and destruction. That I understand, according to everybody. Meaning that heter is because it doesn't distract you from
appropriate.
Correct. It doesn't distract you. On the contrary, it helps you focus on the avilus. That I can understand. But according to the Marsha's reasoning of distraction, then on the contrary, the more difficult the experience of Torah study is, because I'm studying something that's new, and it, you know, I have to break my teeth over, rack my brains to try to reveal its pshat, then according to the Marsha, Adarabba, that should be prohibited on Tisha B'Av, because I'm going to have to put even that much more effort, you know, activate all my intellectual abilities in order to come up with some explanation. He says, but Bishlema l'Rashi, Rashi would allow this because it's tirda. It's so difficult for him to break through that it's not simcha. The tirda, you know, the how would be a good translation of the word tirda?
The
tremendous difficulty and effort that you have to put in, that takes away the element of simcha. But according to the Marsha, if he has to work even harder to break through the Gemara, so I thought that comment was a brilliant comment, because the Marsha opens up and says ilule perusho, you know, so we have to come back and defend.
It's because if you went to the virtual paper about if you were a student in places in the times of the Marsha,
yeah.
So it was Pashup Shat that you were happier to be there than to get off on Tisha B'Av. So then if you were learning something that was difficult to learn, you probably liked that too. According to the Marsha.
And yet we're allowed to learn it. So, you know, if we're allowed to learn it, it means we're completely, you know, in Yiddish there's a phrase, harangetan, you know, we're obsessed, you know, we're mentally obsessed to try to figure it out. That doesn't leave much room for thinking about
the
avails.
Problem in the Marsha is not when you're having the trouble. It's that the trouble might end during Tisha B'Av. And then you're going to be happy if you're not the trouble. There's a danger. You're going to reach the happy stage.
You know, Rabosai, that normally in this classroom at this time, we learn neither. And I would think that neither would probably fit into this category of tirda. You know, it's I'm nervous for about 3 days before the neither shiur because it's so difficult. In any event, now Rabosai, the third source on your page is a Gemara in Moed Katan, and the Gemara in Moed Katan Daf Chaf Aleph quotes a brisa, and I have, you know, cut and pasted this from Bar Ilan below the first major paragraph. Tana Rabbanan, v'elu dvarim sha'avel osur b'hem. As we said before, Tisha B'Av seems to be a reflected image of avelus. So let's go back to Avelus. Now, if Tisha B'Av is an image of Avelus, and therefore we equate the two, then if I would ask you to cover the page for a minute, just for pedagogical purposes, what do you anticipate in this Brisa when the Brisa is going to list the prohibitions of an Avel? You know, Avel is again the prototype. In terms of Talmud Torah, what do you anticipate? What do you expect? What else, Joel? What's the flip side? Which we saw already in the Gemara in Titus regarding Tisha B'Av. Is it us or is it not us?
It is us.
Except for exceptions. Right, we had exceptions. So what do you anticipate? Again, I'm playing a game with you here.
Same exceptions.
I should find not only a formulation of the prohibition against learning Torah, but I should also find the exceptions to the rule. Now let's read the Brisa. The Brisa says, V'elu dvarim sha'avel aser b'hem. Aser b'malacha. Okay, that we know. And then he gives the whole list of inuyim. And then he writes, V'aser likros b'torah b'nevim b'ksuvim l'shanas b'mishnah b'medrish u'balachas. And what's the next word here? It didn't come out on my printing. Okay, I have b'shas u'bagadot. Okay, what does the Brisa have here that's exactly a duplicate of what we had in the Brisa in Titus?
The list of things you're
right. The Isa Talmud Torah and the entire list. But what's completely omitted here?
The Heter.
Okay, so keep that in mind. But before we discuss that, I want to take a look at Rashi. Rashi, which you have here on your page, but I have it here in the original Gemara on line 3, the Usul Likros. Rashi says, Kidamrina Li El. He says, what's the original source? We're looking here on Daf Chaf Aleph, but there's an earlier Gemara on Daf Tes Vav. Mida Omar Rachmona Li Yechezkel Hanek Dom. In other words, Yechezkel got a nevuah that he was going to be an Avil. In fact, he was about to lose his wife, Rachmana Litzlan. And in that prophecy, Hashem says to him, Hanek Dom, be silent. And the Gemara says that those words of Hanek Dom means be silent from Torah study. So that's the original source for an Avil that is enjoined from studying Torah in Yechezkel. So Rashi feels that it's very important for us to know that what we're seeing here is based on a pasuk in Tanakh, in this case in Yechezkel Hanov. Okay. So far, so good. Then Rashi says the following. Now, I want to point out to you that it's somewhat rare that Rashi asks a kasha and gives a teretz. That's more appropriate for who? For Tosfot. But here, Rashi is like a Tosfot. And he says the following. Vehadi Omar. And if you'll ask me a question from Sukkah, Daf Chafhei, and what does it say in Sukkah, Daf Chafhei? It says, Avel Chayav Bechol HaMitzvos HaMuros BaTorah. An Avel is obligated in all the mitzvahs that the Torah obligates everybody, with one exception, chutz min hatfilin. Now again, this is complicated enough for us today, but tefillin is only on the first day of Avelus. We're not going into that.
Only.
Okay, but the very fact that the Brisa and Sukkah singles out tefillin as the only exception to the rule where the Torah exempts the Avel, the implication is as far as the other 612, an Avel is included. What about Talmud Torah? Rashi wants to know, why wasn't Talmud Torah mentioned there? Because since an Avel is also Likros, and we have the whole list, then he's enjoined from Talmud Torah, then he's not chayv in the midst of Talmud Torah. Hasam, says Rashi. Now again, whenever you see an answer to a question in general, and certainly in Rashi, you have to ask yourself, is the answer going to undermine the premise of the kasha, or it's going to accept the premise of the kasha and then come up with an answer from somewhere else? Rashi says, Hasam over there, What's the subject of the Braisa in Sukkah? Shar mitzvahs bi'alma. There are two categories of mitzvahs, one of which is being addressed by the Braisa in Sukkah, and one of which is not being addressed by the Braisa in Sukkah. Aval hani ispahu simcha. There are two categories of mitzvahs. One category is a mitzvah that doesn't have what?
Simcha.
And the other mitzvah is where simcha is somehow inherently essential to the mitzvah itself. What's the subject of sukkah, of the Bryson sukkah?
Sure.
Mitzvahs that don't have simcha to it. Amongst the mitzvahs that don't have simcha to it, there the list is chutz min ha-tfilin. Tfilin is the only mitzvah where the avil is exempt. He's obligated with all other mitzvahs. But if you ask me about a mitzvah which is essentially simcha, that's the element of the mitzvah, then that's not the subject of the brisa. That's clearly a mitzvah which the avil is exempt from. Why? Because simcha is antithetical to avil.
Could be the tefillin is simcha too.
Oh, so first of all, you have to learn from Rashi that simcha is not essential to tefillin, which that's interesting. Okay, meaning the mitzvah of tefillin means simply wrapping the tefillin onto your body. You want to enhance the mitzvah with simcha, that's fine, but you can obtain the essential part of tefillin without simcha. Torah, on the other hand, apparently has simcha as an essential element, to the extent to which it was pashut. It was simple to the Gemara in Sukkah that an Avil cannot study Torah because Torah is absolutely simchadik, right? And that's part of the mitzvah of Torah. But Rabosai, what I wanted to ask you is the following. It seems to me that Rashi could have done a better job. And Rashi could have rejected the very premise of his question. What was the premise of Rashi's question? Tefillin is not the only example of a mitzvah which an avil is exempt from. I have another answer. I have another mitzvah which the avil is exempt from. Namely what?
Torah.
Rashi could have rejected that premise easily. How so? An avil is obligated in studying Torah. Anybody? I mean, Berzon, are you telling me something crazy? You went off your rocker? What do you mean? We just finished learning that an avil is not allowed to study Torah. We gave an enumerated list that covers the whole gamut. So how can you tell me that an avil is chayav in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? What's the answer?
Certain aspects he has.
That's right. Certain areas of Torah study he's obligated to. He's got to study Torah Maharim Shabbat Yirmiyon. He's got to study the Agadatin Anizakin, and he has to study Eov. And
maybe he has to
study Hilchas Avelus and Hilchas Tisha B'Av and so forth and so on. Meaning, Rashi seems to assume a premise which bothers my mind. Namely, that there is no mitzvah Talmud Torah in the case of an Ovid. But Ribono Shel Olam, we just finished learning a whole sugya in Tainus, the premise of which the Jew who's enjoined from Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av does have areas of Torah study that he's obligated in. So I wouldn't say that the Braisa in Sukkah should have said Chutz mi Talmud Torah would not be accurate. There's no reason to completely remove the chiyuv of Talmud Torah from Avelus. Is Rabosai, what conclusion could I possibly derive here from the fact that Rashi didn't say what we wanted him to say?
Maybe it's not a carbon copy.
What's not a carbon copy?
That the Avelut
is not a carbon copy of what?
Tisha B'Av.
Excellent. You took the whole shear out of my mouth. That Rashi seems to be assuming that Tisha B'Av L'chud and Avelus L'chud. Meaning, as much as we were excited about equating the two and saying that the laws of Tisha B'Av really are an extension or reflection of the laws of Avelus, Rashi says no. There's a fundamental difference between Avelus and Tisha B'Av. In the case of Tisha B'Av, what's Rashi's answer to the following question? Is a person obligated in Talmud Torah? The answer is what? Yes, in the case of an Avel, what's Rashi's answer to the question? Is the Avel Chayiv in Talmud Torah? The answer is no. And what's the difference? Because in Tisha B'Av, he has a whole carved out areas, you know, disciplines of Torah that he's obligated to study. In the case of Avel, there ain't no exception. An Avel is Aser B'Tisha B'Av, B'Talmud Torah, period. All inclusive. And what would Rashi quote as a raya to prove his point?
A Yecheskel.
Oh, you're a step ahead. I'll get to Yecheskel in a minute. That's also brilliant. But even before you get to Yecheskel, what did we point out here? What did we anticipate when we covered the page? No, there's no list of exceptions. Yeah, exactly. There's a brisa here in Masechta Moed Katan that lists the Isurim that are relevant to Talmud Torah for an Avel. There's a brisa here in Taimis that lists the Isurim of Talmud Torah for Tisha B'Av. Why is it that one brisa told me, but on Tisha B'Av, these are the following parts of Torah that I can study, and I'm permitted. And here in Avel, in Moed Katan, the brisa left it out. And I think Rashi would yell and scream because there is no exception. The kula, so to speak, you know, the leniency that we had to study certain parts of the Torah that applies to Tisha B'Av doesn't apply to an Avel. Now I think the second thing that Rashi would quote as a proof, maybe that would justify why Rashi feels so compelled to quote the sugya early in Moed Katan Tesvav of Hanek Dom and Yecheskel, is what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Yecheskel this prophecy? What does Dom mean?
Silence.
You know, he's not saying to Yecheskel, well, you know, certain areas of Torah you're allowed to study, certain areas you're enjoying for study, none of that. It's just an absolute prohibition of Hanek Dom. And Rabosai, you know what? I want to add another point here. You know why Rashi quotes Hanek Dom of Yecheskel? Because if I didn't see this, Rashi, what pasuk would I have quoted to explain why it's Avel?
It only says.
Correct, because it says in the pasuk, Bikudei Hashem Yesharim Mesamchei Lev, which is a quote, according to Rashi, in the Braiso, which refers not only to children, but also to adults. Meaning, why are we enjoying the Tisha B'Av from studying Torah? Rashi says, because of Simcha. No, let's apply the same logic to an Avel. Says Rashi, then, if you can apply the same same pasuk to an Avel, then you're going to derive the conclusion that an Avel is chayav in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, just like on Tisha B'Av we're chayav in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And Rashi's premise is no, that's absolutely wrong. An Avel is exempt from Talmud Torah. My only problem is that Rashi here in Moed Katan, which I thought this Rashi was saying what I wanted him to say, he adds a sentence which makes it almost impossible for me to say what I wanted to say. He's saying that the reason why the Braisa and Sukkah didn't even bother mentioning the exception of Talmud Torah is because that was Pashut. Why was that Pashut? Because Talmud Torah is different than Tefillin. It's a mitzvah that has essentially the element of Simcha, and therefore it's antithetical to Avelis. But be that as it may, I would submit to you that Rashi holds like Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, as you know, is Rashi's grandson. If you take a look at Tosus, which is the next source on your page, just give me one more second, Ben, so I don't forget where I'm holding.
Okay.
Tosus says, Bitshuvos, where am I? I lost the place. Bitshuvos Rabbeinu Yitzchak Zkeni. Okay, this is the Riazokim, who was a little bit later in terms of the history of the Bali Tosfos. Kosavi writes, Ki Rabbeinu Yaakov, that's Rabbeinu Tam, who's earlier than the Riazokim, Hoya Oser V'yemei Avelo, we have a lot of stories about what Rabbeinu Tam did when he was in Ovid, in various sources. Hoya Oser V'yemei Avelo B'Iov U'Bekinis U'Bedvar Maram Shebi'irmiya. Why? Why did he see the prohibition against Torah study as a blanket, all-inclusive isur? Did a low tanile b'shmaitin? Because in our sugya here, Moed Katan of Avel, it doesn't mention that you're allowed to study these parts of Torah. Kamo b'tisha b'av b'shili taimis. Okay, Ben, go ahead.
So, wouldn't a better proof text be Aaron when he's dome after he finds out his sons are killed? Because actually, after the fact, it's not something that's going to happen in the future.
No, I'll tell you why. Because we're looking for a mandate. We're looking for a word from the commander-in-chief. We're not looking for Aaron's response. Now, you might ask me, can we derive conclusions from Aaron? And I'm a little bit, shall I say, inhibited about doing so because you know, when the pasuk says about Aaron vayidom Aaron, I mean, I don't want to get emotional here, but it's a madrega that's beyond.
He also did some.
You know, it's beyond human comprehension.
He also Aaron. I think he did some korbanos, so his avilut wasn't totally like the normal avilut.
Right, it could be that he wasn't an avil yet. Maybe his avilut started later. Very complicated, but I think my answer to you, Ben, is a good answer. Meaning, we're looking for a pasuk where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to man and telling him, instructing him how to fear, how to observe avelos. That's what we get from Yechezkel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Nevuah to Yechezkel tells him, your wife is going to pass on. And this, and all halachos, for example, the fact that an avel is not allowed to wear tefillin is also derived from Yechezkel. Because there too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, you know, put on your tefillin before you become an Ovel, implying that after you'll be an Ovel and your wife passes on, you won't be able to wear tefillin. Again, it's not for us now, but many of the halachas and the mandates regarding Avelus are derived from Yechezkel. Fine.
So essentially we're making a distinction between two different types of mourning. The mourning at Tisha B'Av, more of a communal and a personal mourning, lulling.
Right, maybe a personal mourning in that sense is more chamur. Like, for example, the Gemara tells us that with regard to personal mourning, you know, there's no mitzvah simchas yontif. The Gemara goes back and forth whether or not the mitzvah simchas yontif could apply to an ovel. But you're right, yeah, maybe it's more chamur. And Rashi holds, like this Rabbeinu Tam, that the Issa Talmud Torah in the case of an Ovel is Hanegdom without any exception. It's all inclusive as far as Torah study is concerned. Whereas Tisha B'Av is different. Tisha B'Av, we're going to carve out which part of Torah you're allowed to learn, which part of Torah you're not allowed to learn. But in any event, the bottom line is that according to Rashi, there's no mitzvah of Talmud Torah incumbent upon an Ovel. And the Brisa in Sukkah should have listed it together with tefillin, except it was simple. You know, it was upgraded, it was understood, even without mentioning it. Then Tosafot says that Rabbeinu Tam changed his mind. And he says that...
amazing news.
Says that... just 1 second... Where is it? Ubimezi Knuso. You have it? My problem is that I printed this out for you now. I keep going back and forth. Okay. Ubimezi Knuso Chazar. He changed his mind. Vihitir. And he allowed the study of these depressing parts of Torah, if I could use that term just for our purposes, on in Avelus. Ubishalmi, and the Raya, and the reason why the Rabbi Tam reversed his original position is because in Yishalmi Omar, referring to an Avil, it says, Avil Shone B'Mokum She'ein Rogil, Mashma She'shone K'mo B'Tishavov. We do have the exception to the rule listed in the Yerushalmi, and then he goes on and he says that in the last chapter in Tainus it says Avol Kore Mimokum Sheina Rogil. So in Tisha B'Av it says Kore Sheina Rogil, and in Yerushalmi regarding Avelus it says Kore B'Mokum Sheina Rogil. V'Hachi Komar Hosam, and there if you look at the language of the Brisa, which again is on the top of your page, it says Kol Amitzus Hanogos BeOvel Nogos BeTisha B'Av, which sounds like the Brisa is postulating an exact equation, what we called before a mirror image. Mashma Lechora, just fast forwarding a little, the Ovel BeTisha B'Av Shavin, that they are both equal, and therefore the exceptions to the rule, those parts of Torah which you're allowed to study on Tisha B'Av, an Ovel is allowed to study as well. And then he says at the bottom of the Tosi, he says, Masha Hevi Rabbi Yitzchak Raya Les or Min Ka'omar Li El Osu B'Divrei Torah Shenemar Hanikdom Mashma HaKol. Hanikdom sounds like you have to be totally silent and refrain from learning Torah, all inclusive, ain't nearly right. I don't believe that's a proof. The Lo Ka'omar Ella Midover HaMesamcha, what Hashem was instructing Yecheskel was hanik dom, meaning avoid simcha, avoiding the Torah of simcha. Kedemir v'taynis mishum shenemar pikuri Hashem yisharim misamchei lev. And then he goes ahead and he quotes the brisa in Sukkah, which Rashi was grappling with, and he says now the brisa is very simple. The reason why Torah is not mentioned and only Tefillin is mentioned is because Eino Chinami, you know, Avil is Chayim in Torah, just that he can't express and fulfill his mitzvah of Torah study by studying the Simcha part of Torah, but he'll fulfill his obligation by studying those parts of Torah which he's allowed to study, and then he's obligated to study. So again, it comes out that according to Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam's original position, Avelus is more Chamur than Tisha B'Av, and there's no Heter of Talmud Torah at all. And therefore, in the case of Avel, he's also the Talmud Torah, even as far as Dvarim Haroyim are concerned. And Lamaskana Rabbeinu Tam rescinded his position, and he held that an Avel like Tisha B'Av is obligated in Talmud Torah, but that mitzvah of Talmud Torah expresses itself in Dvarim Haroyim. It's limited to Dvarim Haroyim. That's what we have so far. Now, Rabosai, I'd like to study with you the Ritva. Now, in order to study the Ritva, we have to open up two different Ritvas and sort of put them all together. One Ritva, which you'll see right here smack in the middle of your page, is in Moed Katan, Daf Chaf Aleph, which is the sugya that we just studied now. And here, the Ritva on Daf Chaf Aleph, which again, let me just get my bearing here. Okay, we'll read it here from the Bar Ilan. That's good enough for me. He says the following. He says, Tanya Gabi Tisha B'Av Kehai Gavna, meaning it's very similar in Tisha B'Av at the end of Tainus, for Sifal of Heter. And the Brisa in Tisha B'Av added a Heter that you're allowed to read, we'll call it Dvarim Haroy. Okay? Fine. And then he writes, Misafku L'Rabbanan Zal, which I think is a machlokas between Rashi and the Maskana, the final conclusion of Ben Tam, in Yesh Loseis Es Ha'Omer Shel Zeba Zeb. Is there an exact equation between Tisha B'Av and Avil? Sharei Yesh Dvarim, and therefore those areas of Torah study that you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to learn on Avelus. But he says, you know what? Maybe not. Why? And he wants to show you that, and this, Ben, is something that you touched on before, that there are various differences between Tisha B'Av and Avelus. How does he illustrate that? He says, Hare Yesh Dvarim B'Tisha B'Av Chomer Tfei. It goes in both directions. Sometimes there's a Chomer in Tisha B'Av. For example, we're not allowed to wash our body on Tisha B'Av in cold water, whereas an Avel is allowed to wash his body in cold water. He's just enjoying from a hot shower. Again, for that we'd have to really study a different branch of Allah, and that is the Rechitza branch. And the flip side is also true. Yesh Chomer v'Avel mi v'Tisha B'Av. We're more machmir in Avel than Tisha B'Av. For example, in Tisha B'Av we don't have what's called Atifas HaRosh or Kfiyas HaMita, and Yitziyah mi-Pesah, he's allowed to go out of his house. So an Avel is not allowed to go out of his house. Back in the day, he used to have to cover his head in a certain way. He has to sleep on an upturned bed. None of those prohibitions or laws apply to Tisha B'Av. But he says, Uposek Rabbeinu Yitzchak Zal, Litein et Shalzeh Bozeh. And then he goes ahead and he proves that there's an exact equation and all those areas of Torah knowledge that you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, you're permitted to learn in Avelus. And after quoting this whole piece from Rabbeinu Yitzchak, at the bottom line, if you take a look, if you fast forward, he says, V'nirim advarim, and I agree with Rabbeinu Yitzchak, Shemutar gamkom l'shanis bi'ovel rabosi, Shemutar gamkem l'shanos, and he says, you'll see that in Ovel Rabosi, which is a compilation of brisos regarding Avelus, V'chein bilchas Avelus, Kidei Leda Ma Yesh Lo Lasos. And if you want to know the specific areas of Torah study that he's allowed to learn, take a look over there. So as a matter of fact, the Ritva now is committed to the position of Rabbeinu Tam Lamaskana, Rabbeinu Tam Bizik Nuso, that the same heterim that permit you to learn Torah in certain areas on Tisha B'Av apply to others. But now, let's see another piece in the Ritva. And this is the Ritva in Moed Katan Daf Tesvav. The Ikashalach. And if you'll ask the following question, Dabrinin Avel Asur B'Divrei Torah Vilu Hasam there in Sukkah, Abrinan Shuchai B'Chol Mitzvah Samuris B'Torah Chutz Min Tefillin. Familiar question. This was Rashi's question on Daf Chaf Aleph. Here the Ritva asks it back on Daf Tesvav. Why does the Brisa in Sukkah omit the fact that an Avel is exempt from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? So again, Rabbi Osai, what is the premise of the Ritva in his question?
That they are the same.
That they are the same. In other words, I don't know what you mean by the same here. What's the status of Talmud Torah with regard to Avel in the Ritva's Havamina, in his question?
You have to do this.
No. Again, if you're chayav, then it wouldn't be a kasha. The ikashalach. Right, what's his problem? It only mentions tefillin as the exception. It should have added Talmud Torah, meaning the premise of the Ritva is that an Avil is exempt from Talmud Torah, correct? And that's what we said according to Rashi. The Yesh Lomar, the Ein Lemeidim in Aklos, meaning very often when a Brisa says a Klal, you don't derive any conclusion. Something may have been left out. So basically, is the Ritva in his answer accepting and verifying, validating his premise in the Havamina? You're not with me.
Good. Okay. I'm talking to
he left out Talmud Torah.
Correct, it was left out. But the Ritva is saying that it should have been there. Meaning that to the same extent that an Avil is exempt from Tefillin, he's also exempt from Talmud Torah. The Brisa didn't mention it. Eilu made him in a close. There's a certain rule here that sometimes the Brisa omits things. It doesn't always give you an exhaustive list. That's the first answer to the Ritva. Ovdei Shlomar. And again, I want you to analyze whether he accepts and embraces the premise of his Havmin or rejects the premise of his Havmin. The Kevon de Kore Kriyat Shema Shachris V'Arvis, since the Avel will read Kriyat Shema both in the morning and in the evening, B'Didah, with those recitations, Sagile, that's sufficient.
Sufficient enough for him to be Yotzei Limud Torah?
Exactly. Yeah. He's fulfilled the mitzvah of Limud Torah. So now I ask you, in the second answer, did the Ritva reject his premise? Or he still accepted the premise. Again, the premise of his kasha was that an avil is completely exempt from Talmud Torah. Now he's rejecting it. He's saying that no, an avil is chayav in Talmud Torah, but he can fulfill that mitzvah, the barest minimum, with kriyat shma shachris v'arvis, and then he spells it out exactly. He says v'nimtza she'ein patur mimena. He's not exempt from Talmud Torah. Now, what we have here is the following. The second answer of the Ritva maintains the position that an Avel is obligated in the midst of Talmud Torah. If the Ritva wanted to prove his point, what should he have said based on the last line in the Ritva on Daf Chaf Aleph that we just finished studying?
He is chayev, but not on everything.
Correct. And what is he chayev in Talmud Torah? Forget about kriyat shma shachris v'arvis. Leave out kriyat shma shachris v'arvis. What? The only Torah that he's obligated in is kriyat shma shachris v'arvis. The Ritva now is maintaining that he's chayev in Talmud Torah. So what should he have done? How would the Ritva have illustrated that he's chayev in Talmud Torah?
Dvar Maroyim.
Because the Ritva himself accepts the Shita. Again, going back to the last line in the previous paragraph. V'nireh Dvarim shemutar gamkein lishanos. He's allowed to study Dvar Maroyim. No, I find
allowed
it
allowed and being an obligation or two different things.
Beautiful thing.
Say that again slowly.
Okay.
I think there's a distinction between being allowed to do something as kind of like, okay, Bidi Eved will let you do this. As, no, you have a chiyuv. It's two different realms.
I think Ben is saying something absolutely stunning here. Is it possible that when we talk about Dvarim HaRoyim, again, the Ritva Shita is, on the one hand, that the, again, this is his premise in his Kasha and his first answer, that an Avel is completely exempt from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And basically, read the Braisa Azar. Chutz mitfilin v'Talmud Torah. Yet, the Ritva allows an Avel to study Dvarim HaRoyim. And he accepts that equation between Tisha B'Av and an Avel. Now, if that be the case, then why did the Ritva just point out that I have a problem here? Just one second. Again, the Ritva's premise is that an Avel is part of a Talmud Torah. Now, so if that be the case, how do I reconcile that premise with the premise that the Ritva allows the Avel to study Dvar Maron? That means that he's kind of in the midst of Talmud Torah. In fact, when the Ritva, the second answer, backtracks, and he now maintains that an Avel is chayav in Talmud Torah, instead of quoting the Dvarim HaRoyim, he stretches his arm out to Kriyash Vashachas V'Yarmis. Says Ben, Kriyash Vashachas V'Yarmis is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Dvarim HaRoyim is only a license, a permission to study, but it's not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now I ask you the following question, Ben, and I'm addressing myself to you because your answer and your explanation of mitzvah is brilliant, and I accept it. But I still have the following fundamental problem. If the Ritva holds that you're potter from Talmud Torah, because you're an Avil, Rachman Olitzlan, but you're allowed to study Dvar Maroyan, then what significance is it to study Dvar Maroyan if it's not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah? What is it then? You're giving me permission, but you're not willing to upgrade that to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah.
Because it supports the feeling of the time.
That can elevate your feeling of mourning.
Not
okay.
Mourning.
Everything you say is correct, but I'm looking for something even more revolutionary.
He's only usering part of Talmud Torah.
Why is it that Dvarim HaRoyim, according to the Ritva, is not a kiyum of Talmud Torah? And you're right, because it's reconcilable with Avedis. It's fine.
Because there's no simcha.
Exactly. And the Ritva is laying down what premise? About the mitzvah of Talmud Torah.
Simcha
is a precondition in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And Rabosai, I wouldn't have had the chutzpah of saying this if not for two things. Number one is the Shiboli Alekhet, which we're about to study, and number two, the introduction of the Igle Tal, that was the Sukkot Shavuot Rebbe, to his magnum opus on Hilchos Shabbos. The Sukkot Shavuot says that people make a major mistake with regard to Talmud Torah. And they think that if I have too much gishmak, too much enjoyment and pleasure for the study of Torah, that's not called lishma. Says the Sukkot Shavuot, on the contrary, that is the essence of lishma. What does lishma mean in Talmud Torah? For the sake of enjoying Talmud Torah. Because the simcha and the pleasure of learning Torah is essential to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But I think the clincher is the Shiboli Alekhet. Now, I have to apologize because I put the Shiboli Alekhet all the way on the bottom of page 2, which you might not have. Do you have it?
No, we got it.
Oh, you have it. Okay, that's good. Okay, good. So let me get out my copy of the Shiboli Alekhet, if I can find it. Okay. Sorry. Says the Shiboli Alekhet, Yesh Gaonim Zal, Sha'omrim she'ein mevarchim birchas ha'Torah. Now I have to give you one little introduction. These are the laws of Tisha B'Av. Do we recite birchas ha'Torah on Tisha B'Av? He says, the Gaonim say, ein mevarchim birchas ha'Torah. Sherei asurim b'divrei Torah. In other words, we're caught in an anomaly here. On the one hand, we recite Birkas HaTorah every day of the year. But on the other hand, on Tisha B'Av, we're not allowed to learn Torah. So how are you going to make a bracha on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? So the Gaonim say, don't make a bracha.
Krishma. I mean,
okay, he's not operating with Krishma. He's assuming that Krishma is a mitzvah of Krishma. It's not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Not like the Ritva.
What's that like?
Say it again?
Or stay up all night. You don't have to make the bracha.
Yeah, that's an issue. If you stay up all night, do you need to make the bracha? So you're saying maybe that would be an option for him, according to the Gaonim.
Right? Okay,
that's cool. But again, the Gaonim are not looking for options, because the Gaonim hold that there's no bracha on Torah on Tisha B'Av. Finished. Finito.
The same question could be about an Avel. If an Avel is really patur legamre, then maybe you should say
okay, good, 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 good. Excellent. V'li nira, the Shiboli Aleket, with all the respect to the Gaonim, says shetzarich iu, that I can't accept the position of the Gaonim. Why? Sharehu rashoi likros b'torah ube'iov ube'kinis ube'dvar maroem shebi'irmiya hilchoch mevarech birchas haTorah. Now wait a second, I'm very confused. There are two ways that I can justify the premise that we recite Birchas HaTorah on Tisha B'Av, which is the position of the Shiboleth. Like, one way is to say it, that there is a mitzvah of studying Torah, even on Tisha B'Av. And since I have that mitzvah, that obligation, I make a bracha. The other way of saying it is that no, there is no obligation to study Torah on Tisha B'Av. On the contrary, I'm enjoined from studying Torah. But I will make the bracha because there's certain parts of Torah that I'm allowed to study. Which way is the Shibbol HaLek going over here? How do you know that, Rabbi? I agree with you, but how do you know it?
He says you make the bracha.
No, but I'm asking. Is he saying you make the bracha because you're obligated in the midst of Talmud Torah?
No.
Or is he saying you make the bracha because you're allowed to study?
You're allowed.
How do you know that? How do you know that that's the pshat? I'm going to be the devil's advocate. I'm going to tell you no. The Shiboleh Aleket maintains the position that you're obligated in Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av. Correct? You're obligated in Talmud Torah and Tisha B'Av. It could be that even an Avel is obligated in Talmud Torah, as we discussed at great length, because the Bryson Sukkah says, chutz mi tefillin, and it doesn't mention Talmud Torah. The Ritva's second answer was that the Avel is obligated in Talmud Torah. That's why it was omitted from the list of tefillin. And he says he's obligated in studying the Dvar Maroyim, so or Kriyat Shema, whatever it is, so he has an obligation. No. That's not the pshat in the Shiboleh Aleket, because what word does the Shiboleh Aleket use here? There's one word I want you to focus on.
Rashai.
He doesn't say chayav likros b'Torah. He says rashai likros b'Torah. It means that the Shiboleh Aleket is saying that what justifies Birchas HaTorah is not the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, because that certainly doesn't apply on Tisha B'Av, but rather the heter, the permission that you have to study Dvar Maroyim Shebi Yirmiyah. Rabbonu Shel Olam, I don't understand. What is the significance of reading Dvar Maroyim Shebi Yirmiyah, etc., etc., if there's no mitzvah of Talmud Torah? And how does that justify a bracha? So here, I want to share with you something that I heard from my Rebbe in the name of his grandfather, Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim used to ask the following question. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that a woman makes a bracha on Torah study on a daily basis. That's Or Chaim Simon Mem Zayin. Fact, Reb Chaim, I don't understand. Women are exempt from the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And the Shulchan Aruch writes elsewhere that any mitzvah that a woman is exempt from, she doesn't make a bracha on. This is based on the Rambam Hilchos Tzitzis. The Rambam Hilchos Tzitzis says we should not allow a woman to wear tzitzis because maybe she'll make a bracha on the tzitzis, and a woman is not allowed to make a bracha on tzitzis. At the end, the Rambam says that you're allowed to wear tzitzis, but without a bracha. Why does the Rambam say that she's not allowed to make a bracha? Because it's a mitzvah seishas mind grom, it's a time-bound mitzvah. And the Rambam Shita is that a woman does not make a bracha on a voluntary optional mitzvah. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam, with one exception. The only voluntary mitzvah that the Shulchan Aruch allows a woman, nay, obligates a woman, is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So there are 50 answers to this question, but I want to share with you what I heard from my Rebbe in the name of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim was of the opinion that the bracha of Birchas HaTorah is unique and it's different than... What do you say, Joel?
The Birchas Nen.
Okay, similar. I don't know if Rav Chaim said those
words.
He said, listen carefully, that the bracha of Talmud Torah is not on the obligation of Talmud Torah, but on the cheftza of Torah. Again, you have to be a brisker to appreciate what that means.
Cheftza versus gavra.
Correct. There's no chovas gavra, and yet we'll make a bracha on Talmud Torah. All we need is what? A cheftza shel Torah. And Rav Chaim used to say that a woman could create a cheftza shel Torah no less than a man. Is memela she has to make the bracha on the cheftza shel Torah. Now let's swing back to the Shiboli Aleket. Ein Achinami, says the Shiboli Aleket, there is no mitzvah of Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av. And the Gaonim therefore wanted to omit the bracha of Torah on Tisha B'Av. Velo nirali, says the Shiboli Aleket, because the Gaonim assumed that the Birchas HaTorah is on the Chovas Mitzvahs Talmud Torah, and therefore since on Tishbam there is no mitzvah Talmud Torah, therefore himself factually cannot be a Birchas HaTorah, says the Shiboli Aleket, nein, that's not so. The bracha is not on the obligation to study Torah, but on the Torah itself. And even if on Tisha B'Av I'm not obligated in Talmud Torah, I can learn Torah, the Dvar Maharayim, and the Dvar Maharayim now become a Cheftza Shel Torah, and therefore the bracha, Birchas HaTorah, is justified. And if this pshat is correct, then maybe, perhaps, we can begin to understand the Prima Gadim. Do you have the Prima Gadim here?
Yeah.
Oh, we have this. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Hilchas Tisha B'Av Mutal Lilmod Medrash Eicha Perek Elu Megalchin Pirish Eicha Pirish Iyof. And then he writes in the following sif, Yesh Misha Oser Lilmod Al Yidei Hirhur. You're not allowed to even think of Divrei Torah on Tisha B'Av. Halavai, we should all be challenged by that. You know, that I have to overcome my temptation to think the Rei Torah on Tisha
B'Av.
Right, the Rogachev and so forth, yeah. So the Magen Avraham says, why is it that Hirhur B'Divrei Torah is prohibited? I don't understand, says the Magen Avraham. We have a principle called Hirhur Lav K'Dibur Dami. Hirhur is not like speech. In fact, in Hirhur B'Divrei Torah, we don't make a bracha. Well, maybe we do. That's a machlok between the Machaber and the Gaon. But the Machaber's position is on Hirur B'Divrei Torah, we don't recite a bracha. So Hirur Lav K'Dibur Dami. So then why should Hirur, which is not Talmud Torah, be prohibited on Tisha B'Av? Says the Magen Avraham brilliantly. Shani Hacha. Here it's different. And in the Machlok Shin Rashi and the Marshoah, who's he holding like here? The Iker Taima, why is it that we're enjoined from Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av? Mishum Simcha. Has nothing to do with the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, has to do with the Simcha that's created by Talmud Torah. Ubehirhur Iker Simcha, that's the Baril. Even if I grant you that here is not Talmud Torah, because here Lav Kedimah Dami, but nevertheless, it does create Simcha. And therefore he goes on to say that if a person is studying Dvarim Haroim, correct, and he's allowed to do so, he has to make sure that he studies them on a, I don't know, I don't want to use the word superficial level, but in any event, he shouldn't get involved in asking questions and answering questions, because
let's
that's
start up the fun part.
The fun part, that's going to really lead him to Simcha. So perhaps what we're saying is the following, that according to this Shulchan Aruch Magen Avraham Prima Gadim, the Iser of Talmud Torah based on Tisha B'Av, based on Simcha, is engendered by any Torah, even if it's not part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, that brings a person to a state of Simcha. That's what it comes out. Now,
so it shouldn't be done. Or?
So therefore, since Simcha is antithetical to Avelus of Tisha B'Av, therefore to study Torah in a way that will bring you Simcha, for example, Dvar Maroyim, but to do with Akash and Eteretz, or alternatively, Hirur B'Divrei Torah, all that has to be out of the question. It's all prohibited. And I don't even have to ask the question whether or not it is a kiyum of Talmud Torah. For example, it could be that on Tisha B'Av there is no mitzvah of Talmud Torah. what are we doing with Dvar Maroyim? That's only a heter, that's only a license. We created, as we said before, a chefter shel Torah, but it's not really a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Another example, that would be hirur b'divrei Torah, which might not qualify as a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but nevertheless, it's a chefter shel Torah. And according to Reb Chaim, I can be justified to recite a bracha on hirur, that's the opinion of the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, because it's a chefter shel Torah. But in any event, since it brings me to simcha, even if I would grant you it's not a fulfillment of Talmud Torah, and for that matter, even if Dvar Maroyim is only a license, a heter, but it's not a kiyum of Talmud Torah, insofar as I'm a falpel with pilpulim and answers and questions, and I am a chadish nidushin, I bring myself to a state of simcha, even in the absence of a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it would be prohibited. Oh, so I wrote myself a note here that maybe this would shed a light on the Ritva. But give me a minute to review what I wrote here, so I'll make sure I have it over here. Again, the Ritva says that... Just give me a minute, I'm sorry. So again, I'm sorry, Are you with me? And then we'll finish this up, and then we can have some time for Chumash, because I see it's already... What time is it already? 12:15, 12:20?
20:20.
Okay, so... I just wanted to add one more point that I thought might be meaningful. Let's see. According to the Ritva is assuming in his first answer and certainly in his question that there is no mitzvah of Talmud Torah in the case of Avelus, and yet the Ritva himself... Oh, okay, now I have it. Sorry. I just needed that calculation. What was that problem in the Ritva? The Ritva... on the one end, maintain the position, it is Pirish on Chaf Aleph, that that the case of Ovel is equal to the case of Tisha B'Av, and an Ovel like Tisha B'Av is permitted to study Eicha, etc., Dvar Maron. Yet, the Ritva on Daf Tesvav paradoxically tells us, according to his Kasha on the Gemara and Sukkah, and also according to his first answer, that there is no mitzvah of Talmud Torah in the case of an oven. So what's going on over here? Why does the Ritva think there's no mitzvah of Talmud Torah in the case of an oven when the Ritva himself equates Talmud Ovel with Tisha B'Av and Dvar Maroyim is okay, and instead in his second answer when he wants to resurrect the mitzvah of Talmud Torah for the Ovel, he quotes Kriyat Shema Shachris V'Arvis. What about Dvar Maroyim? The answer is that Dvar Maroyim is not a cube of mitzvah Talmud Torah because the Ovel is not obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. For that matter, even on Tisha B'Av, I'm not obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Elo what? There's a special heter of Dvarim HaRoyim, and that heter is based on the fact that there's no contradiction between the mood that's generated by Dvarim HaRoyim and the Kiyum of Avelus. Those two are reconcilable. But really what I'm doing in Dvarim HaRoyim is a heter and not a Kiyum. If it's a heter and not a Kiyum, therefore the Ritva could never use the heter of Dvar Maroyim as a proof text for a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And therefore the Ritva maintains that in Sukkah when it says Chutz Min HaTfilin regarding an Ovel, it means Chutz Min HaTfilin V'Talmud Torah, because Talmud Torah he's also exempt from. Dvar Maroyim, the Ritva himself is committed to the position that he's allowed to study Dvar Maroyim. Yeah, he's allowed to study it insofar as it's reconcilable, you can integrate it into the Avelus. Then Eichinami, it's not Simcha. If it's not Simcha, it's not Talmud Torah, because Simcha is essential to Talmud Torah, but it is not contradictory or it doesn't undermine the Kiyum of Avelus, and therefore there's a heter to do it. If there's a heter to do it, the Ritva cannot in any way quote that halacha of Dvar Maroyim to prove that there's a chiyuv, an obligation of Talmud Torah. Eichinami, the Ritva might maintain that there is no obligation of Talmud Torah, despite the fact that the Ritva holds you're allowed to study this because there's only a heter. And in terms of a bracha, number one, we can maintain the position of the Shiboli Alek against the Gaonim, and here I want to introduce Rav Chaim Skirish, that the bracha is not on the chiyuv and the mitzvah, but rather on the chefzah shel Talmud Torah. And the chefzah shel Talmud Torah, even an avil can create by studying Dvarim HaRoyim, even though he omits, he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And now we come out that Hirhu B'Divrei Torah on Tisha B'Av might not be a chiyuv of Talmud Torah, according to that opinion that Hirhu Lav Kedivra Dami, but nevertheless, it's prohibited on Tisha B'Av because of this special category of Simcha, and this supports the position of Rashi against the Marsha that even adults are enjoined from Talmud Torah because of Simcha, Pikudi Hashem Yishar Misam Chilish. So it comes out a beautiful structure. It's magnificent. Again, we have to review the Shia a million times. But the final conclusion is that it could very well be possible that on Tisha B'Av there is no mitzvah of Talmud Torah, an Avil is not obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the Dvarim HaRoyim comes under a whole different category of Heter and not Kiyum, and the reason why there is no Kiyum is because this Talmud Torah is stripped of its very essential component of Simcha. Without Simcha it's not Talmud Torah. Then you'll ask me the question, A, what significance is it for an Avil or on Tisha B'Av to learn Dvarim HaRoyim if he's not obligating the mitzvah and is completely stripped of the kiyum of Talmud Torah? The answer is he's going to create a Chefzah Shel Talmud Torah, and that Chefzah Shel Talmud Torah is mutter. And why is it mutter? Because it's not antithetical to the kiyum of Avilus. If he goes beyond, he exceeds beyond his limitations, and he converts Dvarim HaRoyim into Talmud Torah Mamish, not just the Chefzah of Talmud Torah, but a Talmud Torah of Simcha, that's antithetical to Tisha B'Av, and therefore Hirhur, insofar as it brings him to a state of Simcha, is prohibited on Tisha B'Av. Ad kan. So Chumash will start in about 5 minutes. We'll take a little break.
Is there any,
if you can open the door, Jack and Joel, just to get some air in the room.
So even if there's no kiyum, and there's a chetza without
Rabbi,
a kiyum.
Rabbi, you might want me here because just in this little break, I want to get myself a tea. Say it again.
There's a chetza shel simcha. There's not simcha. There's a chetza shel Torah, even without a kiyum.